It takes a little bit of work to walk with the Holy Spirit and to hear. We don't want that. We want it quick. So we ignore that. Today, I want you to be reminded of this truth. You can make a choice, and the entire church can be involved in it, and you might still be wrong because you did not do it God's way. Number three, turn with me to the book of John chapter 16, because here Jesus tells them how the New Testament model of making decisions is going to happen. John chapter 16, I want you to look at the 13th to the 15th verse. John chapter 16. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all, and that includes the decisions you make. If you want to make the right decisions, the scripture says you need the Holy what? Spirit. He will not speak his own words, but he will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is to come. The Spirit of truth will bring glory to me because he will make what I have to say and tell it to you. Verse 15, all that the Father has is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit would take what I have to say and to tell it to you. Did the disciples wait for the person who was supposed to help them make decisions? Did they? Come on, talk to me. Did they? This is why I believe that they may have made a wrong choice. Another reason for which I do believe that maybe they may have made the wrong choice is that they are trying to figure out who should replace Judas. First of all these disciples, who chose them? Who chose them? So what business do they have replacing someone Jesus chose when Jesus told them, wait? I wanted you to pay attention. Sometimes we can do things in prayer meetings because they just had a prayer meeting. And it's very easy to pray and still not listen to the Holy Spirit. I wanted you to pay attention. Because sometimes prayer is just a religious act for us. I've often heard people who pray in tongues, and sometimes tongues is a language. We need to be careful. So my question is, how do you choose a successor to replace someone who was chosen by the Lord himself when he didn't tell you to choose a successor? Another reason is that they use a model. Now, they prayed. So many people will say, oh, but Pastor, they prayed. They use the word of God as a basis. But I want you to understand, they started from disobedience. And anytime you start disobeying God, it doesn't matter the things you do. You have disobeyed him. Amen? Now, let's look at the model, because the model they used was casting lots. It's an Old Testament model. The book of Proverbs, if you look at 18:18, the Bible says, throwing lots can settle arguments and keep two sides from fighting. And if you look at the Old Testament, casting of lots was used. But Jesus is reminding them that I have ushered in the new covenant in which you depend on the Holy. Come on, talk to me. In which you depend on the Holy. Now, many people don't want to wait for the Holy Spirit. So we still use the Old Testament model of making decisions. Lord, if it is you, put a fleece. It takes a little bit of work to walk with the Holy Spirit and to hear. We don't want that. We want it quick. So we ignore that. Today, I want you to be reminded of this truth. You can make a choice, and the entire church can be involved in it, and you might still be wrong because you did not do it God's way. The book of Proverbs, if you look at another verse, Proverbs 16:33 says, people throw lots to make a decision, but the answer comes from the Lord. Did you hear that? It means that throwing lots or casting lots or voting or asking Alexa to flip heads. The first time I told Siri, Siri, choose heads. It was a decision. And then he chose it. I said, but that's wrong. Based on scripture, that's wrong. And Siri chose it for me. And people are making decisions like that today. What is your decision-making process? Is it a New Testament model or an Old Testament model? Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 1. The final reason I want to give as to why I do believe that this apostles, without waiting on the Holy Spirit and jumping the gun, may have made a mistake. The book of Galatians chapter 1 verse 1 tells you that somebody was chosen by Jesus himself. And that's Paul. Now, pause for a second before we read the scriptures and let me show you something. If you read the book of Acts very carefully, what did Jesus tell them from last week's lesson? He says, wait for the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive what? Power. Then you will be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem. Uh-huh. And in Judea. And then in Samaria. And then unto the uttermost part of the earth. From Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came all the way to chapter 8, verse 3, the people stayed in Jerusalem. You're telling me they were very obedient? No, they are not. They were disobedient like us today. They ignored what Jesus said. So the scripture says there was persecution, and it forced them to move outside of Jerusalem to what? To Samaria. But then after that, they stopped. They didn't do it. They formed a church council in Jerusalem, judging between Jews and Gentiles. Until Paul was released with Barnabas and a few others in Acts chapter 13, then they obeyed the last part by taking the gospel outside of Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. Are you with me? Why? Because that is the guy Jesus himself what chose. Read with me from Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Shall we all read together? Ready? Read. From Paul, an apostle. Pause. Paul says he's an apostle. What kind? Remember, the disciple says they gave a criteria that it ought to be someone who had been with them from the beginning of John's baptism until the day Jesus was what? Resurrected. All right? Now let's look at Paul, because Paul was nowhere near that. So how does he become an apostle? Let's continue reading. Go with me. Go. From Paul, an apostle. I was not chosen to be an apostle by human beings, nor was I sent from human beings. I was made an apostle through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. Notice he mentions not only Jesus, but God the Father. And Jesus said, what I hear the Father say is what I say. So Paul is saying, when he met me on the road of the Damascus, he was fulfilling the Father's will. Matthias, no wonder, after he was chosen, was never heard of. But they had a prayer meeting. There was a scripture from the Old Testament to base their decision on. I want to show you how you can make mistakes. An entire church can make mistakes when we ignore the Holy Spirit. There are some who also will make the argument that maybe they made a right choice. I'm becoming a devil's advocate, right? Looking at both sides. Maybe they made the right choice. And the reason may be the fact that the decision was based on Old Testament model. But it's still, even though we are in the New Testament, the Old Testament hasn't passed yet. But let's just be honest, and let's come back to this simple thing. Did Jesus ask them to elect a successor? Did he? I do believe that that is why Jesus chose Paul. Because he realized them people, all of them, were disobedient. They never moved past Samaria. They sat there and waited. There are some who make the argument that Peter was the apostle to the Jews. Who made him apostle to the Jews? When Jesus said, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And then he chose to make himself an apostle to the Jews. So sometimes God may have gifted you to do something and you might be doing it your way. Anytime you marginalize the Spirit of God in your life, you're bound to do something crazy. And I want us to be very careful. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 3, because we are capable of doing our own things and sometimes make it look like it's God who is doing it. Are you in Romans chapter 10? Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And let's look at verse 3. The old King James says something very, very powerful. And I want us to... Well, let me read it from the Christian Standard Bible. Listen to me. It says, since they were ignorant of the righteousness of God and attempted to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted to God's righteousness. How many kinds of righteousness is being mentioned in this verse? It's just two. Is your righteousness or God's righteousness? He said, since they did not know the righteous ways of God, they established their own what? Mm-hmm. The only entity who can show you God's way of righteousness is the Holy Spirit. And the book of Acts is showing us that the church can have its own righteousness. Let's read from the New Century Version. Because they did not know. How are they going to know? Is it through a council? Is it through a lethargy? Is it through a bylaws? Is it through constitution? The answer is no. It is through the Holy Spirit. Because they did not know the way that God makes people right with him, they tried to make themselves right in their own way. So they did not accept God's way of making people. You see, it is very easy to establish your own righteousness. Very easy. And it's because of our ignorance of God's righteousness. One time, somebody asked me a question. He said, Pastor, why is it that sometimes you allow people to do crazy stuff and not just step your foot and do something? I said, God knows we would disobey him, yet he gave us our will. I said, if you walk with God for real, he will show you that you should never force anybody. Always crave their indulgence. And the reason is this, because he has given you a will to choose, he gets to judge you. Because if he forces you, then he cannot judge you. And I said to the person, the way of Christ is to simply just teach his word and let people make the choices. Because judgment is already woven into our choices. Are you with me? It is very easy to make our own righteousness. When we put two people here and we ask them to pray, and one of them pray this way. Come on, everybody listen. Father, we thank you. They're all praying about the same thing. Father, we thank you for the fact that you are a great and an awesome God. We give you all praise and we give you all glory. Even in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. King of glory, we worship your holy name. We lift you up. In the name of Jesus. When we are done, the two people who actually prayed, tell us. Because we have established our own righteousness as to how prayer ought to look like. Meanwhile, before God, it might be the one who said few words. Because God's righteousness is your heart. not your words, not how articulate you are, because he knows he has made us all human beings, and some got raps, others don't. So he chose not to look at our raps, but our hearts. It is very easy to establish our own righteousness as a church. And some of us are establishing it in our marriages too. It has to be this way. We must come to that place that we establish our righteousness, and it must be based on God's righteousness. Are you with me today? The apostles met. Judas is gone. We are supposed to do this work. Somebody else can come and replace it. Meanwhile, Jesus has already told them, wait, never attempt my work without my Spirit. And they already started choosing. Today, I wanted you to ask yourself, the decisions you're making, is the Holy Spirit in it? Or you just put him on the shelf, and when you are done, you ask him to rubber stamp it for you? As we study the book of Acts, I want you to look at the book in its entirety. Many, many years ago, I looked at it like it's a book and it's a church of super spirituals. The guys were superstars. Peter, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Luke continues to describe it. Chapter 6, they are fighting over food. So they choose deacons. Now, today, we have turned deacons to become a board. But originally, they were brought because they were supposed to share food. You see how we are establishing our own righteousness? I pray that God opens your eyes as we study. Amen. So back to today's lesson. It is very, very easy to create our own righteousness. I took time to look at some of the modern day, the ways people are making decisions. People that are similar to casting of lots, throwing of dice. Do you know people make decisions by just throwing dice? Anytime you watch soccer, how do they determine which team kicks the ball? Heads and tail. Then the referee says, yeah. Then they made a decision. Alexa can also tell you. If you ask Siri, should I go out today? Siri, he or she, whichever one, can tell you, don't go out today because, or if you're going out today, get your umbrella because it's going to rain. And so our dependence on the Holy Spirit is gradually being depleted because there are so many models around us that looks good, but it's not God's righteousness. Are you with me today? It is not. So let's answer a very important question, and then we will close. How can we depend on the Holy Spirit to make decisions? How can we? I have learned that there are several things through the scriptures, but please pay attention to the order I am going to put these things. Don't interchange them. I've learned that the best way to allow the Holy Spirit to help you make decisions, number one, is to give him full control of your life. For what? You see, I put them in caps. Give Christ Jesus and his Spirit full control, not partial. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. And please, if you will, I want you to read this verse with me. We'll read it over about five times because I want it to sink into you. Are you guys ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. If you will make decisions that reflect the heart of the Father, it begins with giving him full, absolute control. You have to give everything over to him. God, my mind, my everything. And there are people who would want to help you establish your own righteousness by telling you you are wasting time. Be smart. Tell them you will choose not to be smart. You want to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? Now, this principle is very simple. Go all the way back to the book of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created mankind, what did he say? He said, of the day you eat of the fruit of this the garden that I said do not eat, you will surely what? Come on, talk to me. You will surely? I'm trying to explain that the principle we are seeing in the New Testament began from the beginning. Mankind sinned, but the Bible says Adam lived for almost 930 plus years. So either God was not telling the truth when he said, if you sin, you will die. Or he was referring to something else. And we all agree that death to God is not the physical death, but what? A spiritual death, a separation when the spirit that he gave to them literally separates from them. So the Holy Spirit has been present from the beginning. And God's intent was not for mankind to depend on libraries, but was to depend on the Holy Spirit. When he speaks, then you can research. But you don't research and ask the Holy Spirit to confirm your research. Are you guys with me? God wanted us to depend on his Spirit, because that is the only way we can link up to him. Anything outside that is error. And if we will depend on the Holy Spirit for our decisions, the first rule of thumb is that you must come to a place in your life Christ is in full control, not part. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, please from the screen, shall we? In the King James, shall we read? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? Now, when we get to that last part, take the ye out and say, I am not my own. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I am what? We read it, but it hasn't sunk into the hearts of many believers. Because when they talk, when they do things, you realize they are in control. God is not. You must come to that place where it's like, it's him. You are at a workplace. I'm illustrating that. You are at a workplace, and you realize that some co-workers are messing around with you. The Holy Spirit nudges you and say, do not say a thing. But because you are still your own, you feel like, no, them people should not. If I keep quiet, these people will have their way. So you start talking and you create more issues. And then you have to go back and say, Holy Spirit, can you come and clean up when he spoke in the first place? I am not my own. Say that with me. All right, we only read it one time. I said we'll read it five times. Ready? Go. What? Don't I know that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in me, that I have of God? I am not my own. Let's try it again. Go. What? And I am not my own. Whose are you? Yeah, we are saying it, but has it sunk in that you are not your own? So when you make decisions, if you belong to someone, then that person ought to be the one making what? That decision. I am not my own. We read it three. We're left with two. Ready? Read. What? Know I not that I am, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in me, which I have of God, and I am not my own. If anybody is sitting close to you, look at them and tell them, Cha, you are not your own. I will interpret Cha to you later on. You are not your own. Say that with me. No. I said you are not. Let's say that. Go. You are not your own. Don't look at anybody's face this time saying that. Let's say it again. You are not your own. You are not. But many of us, we are still our own. There is a process in coming to that place when you lay the flesh at the altar. Remember what I used to say, that the flesh is an unwilling participant in the matters of destiny. Anytime the things of God comes into play, your body will tell you that you are a very awesome person. I am not my own, so I cannot post anything on Facebook and YouTube until he sanctions it. I am not my own. My body, your body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You see, we keep establishing our own righteousness. God says, no, I have my own. It can only be revealed to you through the Spirit. Amen. So the first rule of thumb is that if I can depend on the Holy Spirit to make decisions, there has to be a total surrender. I must give God full. Come on, talk to me. Full. Come on, talk to me. Full. Secondly, I must connect with the Holy Spirit through prayer. Pastor, so you are saying that all the smart guys around, I'll come to that. God gave us smart guys for a reason. But they don't take the place of God. Secondly, I must connect with the Holy Spirit through prayer and allow him to dictate to me. If he's in full control, then he should be able to dictate to us. Are you with me? And if most believers, if most husbands, if most wives would allow themselves to be dictated to by the Holy Spirit, there would be no marital counseling. Because he will already tell you and speak to the other one. So there's no problem. The only reason we have thousands of hours of counseling with people is because we are our own. Everything goes back to that. When you reach the place where you realize, I am not my own. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to take time. This is quite a lengthy reading, but I will read all of it for a reason. The other ones we will jump in. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's read from verse 9 to verse 14. Are you there with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But as it is written in the scriptures, no one has ever seen this, and no one has ever heard about it, and no one has ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Pause. I want you to think through this verse. What this verse is saying is that there are many things you and I don't know. So whenever we start making decisions, we must remember that the Holy Spirit that we are connecting with knows the things that we don't want to know.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.